Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Smart Marketing for Small Business, the show where we hopefully help you to think smarter, act smarter, be smarter, outsmart your competition without outspending them. There's a whole range of ways that we do this. My name is Les Wolf. I'm CEO of the Smart Marketing Group in Philadelphia and the host of this show. And we do, when I said, a number of things to help you think a little smarter. We try to kind of jostle your memory, jostle your mind, get you to think a little bit outside the box. But also we deal a lot in fundamentals, because in this world of technology, it's too often fundamentals are overlooked. But we have four LinkedIn groups that are created just for your use. One is the same name as the show, Smart Marketing for Small Business. Another one is called Creative Thinkers Forum, and that's kind of self-explanatory. We want to help people be more creative. Another is Celebrities for Marketing. That's another approach that we look at in how one can use celebrities. And what we call fearless marketers. That's for those of you who don't want to be followers, who are somewhat risk takers, but not foolishly. And in all of these LinkedIn groups, the idea is get in there, start discussions, participate in ongoing discussions, express your thoughts, share your experiences, share knowledge with each other, because that's the whole idea, to benefit each other. Now, you know, the basic premise of the show is, as I said, to help our listeners to work a lot smarter. Now, in addition, we have a blog, smartmarketinggroup.com, and our corporate website is smartmarketinggroup.com. Corporate site is smartmarketinggroup.com, and our blog is smartmarketingmoves.com. And one other thing, if you are a business that focuses on small business as your customer, you should reach out to us for some of the things we have in workshops, webinars, and speeches. And the way to reach out to me directly is through email. And that email address is marketingsmartly, S-M-A-R-T-L-Y, marketingsmartly@AOL.com. It's if you have ideas that you'd like to have topics for us to talk about, guests that you have comments on, if you'd like to be a guest, information you'd like to share with others. This is a community. And the premise of this is to work together to try and benefit each other. So, fundamentals, but also we cover most of the areas in the, actually I think we cover all of the areas in the marketing spectrum. But let's move on. Tonight I want to cover a couple of things. I'm not sure we're going to get to all of it. But one of the things we're going to talk about is leadership thoughts, steps related to the marketing that you need to take for success, attitude and how it impacts your business, something I call the power of courtesy. And I don't know if we'll get to all of that tonight or not. And then something about how to use the sameness factor against market foes. What we don't get done today, we will try and get done next week. And or up, as I said, on our various communication tools to you. But let's talk about the aspects. If you're going to be a leader, and leadership is action, not position. Key to things is, how do you motivate people? You know, a true leader knows that in order to move forward, all the members of their team need to feel they count, that their effort is not only recognized, but it's also appreciated. You know, research has shown praise given sincerely is far more successful motivator of people than cash or material rewards. And a combination of both can be a home run. But, you know, Catherine, I think it was Catherine the Great, I'm not up on all my history, but I am a quotation nut, as you know. And she's had a wonderful comment, phrase, "I praise loudly, I blame softly." All right, so motivation is key to the management of a business if you're going to be a leader. You have to learn how to motivate, stimulate, activate. You know, and attitude is another thing. I was in a discussion with somebody today. We were discussing the fact that so many people have a negative attitude. And I pointed out a discussion I often have with people who have a negative attitude, and in particular, if they're younger people with a limited work experience, is there nothing to be gained by a negative attitude. Absolutely nothing that can be gained by a negative attitude. And a leader has to have a positive outlook, focusing on what can be achieved rather than focusing on why something can't be accomplished. You know, it's up to that leader to instill, and if you're that leader, and you need to have leadership skills if you want to build your business, if you want to go up the corporate ladder, leadership, it's up to that leader to instill that same spirit in those that he or she leads. When one expresses a negative or pessimistic approach to things, ask this question. Name one benefit you can gain from a pessimistic viewpoint. Negative viewpoint. There are none. There are none. Absolutely none. You'll only get inaction, indecision, and guaranteed failure. Although optimism must be tempered with reasoning, it will always lead to great achievements and a more fulfilling life. You know, a man's greatest enemies are his own apathy and stubbornness. And one of the reasons that you want to have this attitude and you want to have the motivation skills to motivate others and to lead is because, as Phil Condon, the chairman CEO of Boeing, said, and I repeat this quote all the time, none of us are as smart as all of us. You know, some so-called leaders have what I call the kill-the-messenger attitude to anyone who might bring them bad news or make them aware of a problem on the horizon or already beginning to affect the business. Such a leader, very bluntly, is stupid. You know, as a smart leader, you will set up a two-way communication conduit that invites others to give you input and feedback. It not only builds teamwork, it makes you act as well as look smarter than you probably are. You know, such a system combined with a reward, not retribution, outlook will provide a much smoother road to success for everyone. And there's a point that I've made on this show many, many times. It's not just you talk to your customers, you talk to your employees, and you talk to your vendors. All of them are interested, if you communicate with them, to make you succeed. Your employees benefit financially, your vendors benefit financially, and your customers benefit from having a steady, reliable resource. So, you know, these are things that you need to think about. You know, in the long run, and here I go with another one of my quotations that I just have a fascination with quotations because they make such a strong point. Henry David Thoreau said, "In the long run, men hit only what they aim at. Therefore, though they should fail immediately, they had better aim at something high." You have to have that optimistic attitude, that look that, you know, setting goals that you need to accomplish, it's not easy. You know, but it's best accomplished by having the right attitude, input from your team, your customers, your vendors, and even your competition, which you can often get by having established good relationships with members of the trade press and associations. goals require you and your team to have to stretch your talents and think to see what possibilities might be, what the possibilities are, if you're willing to think outside the box. You know, again, I'm going to refer to something I talk about all the time, but I'm a great believer in it. I call it Wolf's Rule of Business Opportunity, but really it's an observation, and I've seen this for decades, and that is every business in every industry tends to operate on the same, operates the same as everyone else in their field until someone takes a magnifying glass and closely examines the common denominators and the sameness factors, and they will always, and I put that in capital letters, underlined, fireworks around it, they will always find an untapped or overlooked opportunity. All right. You also have to have a customer's focus, because in order to get people to sit up and take notice of you, you have to sit up and take notice of what makes people sit up and take notice. And that's not a tongue twister. That's common sense, which unfortunately tends to be uncommon. Now, what is the customer, think about this, what is the customer or prospect most interested in? You? The weather? They're interested in themselves. Understanding this is the basis of the WIFM factor, WIIFM, which I've talked about often, which impacts heavily on purchasing decisions. It stands for the question, what's in it for me? A simple question, but how it is answered can dramatically affect the bottom line. Too often it is ignored or overlooked in a corporate environment that focuses on features of their products or services rather than benefits. People don't buy features. They buy benefits. When they look at a feature that attracts them, it's because they perceive a benefit that they would receive with it. So viewing your business from the customer's perspective will always give you a competitive edge in a marketplace. Because as Tom Peters, the famous management consultant, stated, if you give something worth paying for, they'll pay. Now, the key to it is, you know, as I've often written on, lectured on, what have you, is the fact that so many people are followers. They tend to be mimics. And you need to look at originality. You know, it's easy to come up with new ideas. The hard part is letting go of what worked for you, you know, 2 years ago, but will soon be out of date. And try to rise above your competition and outthink them rather than outspend them. It's best to remember most are mimic marketers who duplicate, replicate, and imitate rather than originate in their marketing efforts. Sometimes the original idea is based on common sense, which, as I often say, is increasingly uncommon. You know, if you follow some of the ideas that we're talking about here, you'll be far better positioned to be different in ways that will impact your profits positively. Because the rewards in business go to the man who does something with an idea. You know, playing it safe is actually the riskiest choice we can ever make. There's always been a correlation between the size of the risk one takes and the size of the reward they gain if they've done their homework. I asked in a group I belong to on LinkedIn.com, why is it so many executives can't think outside the box? And I got back about 200 replies, but the most succinct answer was one word, fear. The truth is that anyone can think innovatively, but few choose to do so because they're not risk takers. They prefer to play it safe, which is why they lose out in the long run. You can't be afraid to take a big step, as one indicated, because you can't cross a chasm in two small jumps. All right, I want to go back and remind you of a couple of things, and then we're going to some other points. The LinkedIn groups, Smart Marketing for Small Business, Creative Thinkers Forum, Celebrities for Marketing, and Fearless Marketers. These are things that are out there for your advantage, your benefit, and that is what you should be taking advantage of. Our blog, Smart Marketing Moves, is another thing. Go up to our website, smartmarketinggroup.com, and look up under our advisory services. I'll make you a deal. Under advisory services, we have a thing we call the advisory time block. It is a program that was designed originally to overcome a problem that a lot of small businesses had, and that was limited budgets. They wanted help on marketing issues and management concerns they had, but they weren't in a position for a retainer relationship, or if they needed help in a project, a project fee might have been too expensive. But they had more than anything else, a need to basically get help, pick up a phone, email, and say, I got a problem here. How about I handle it? So we invented a thing, created a thing called the advisory time block. Very simple concept. You commit to a block of time. You choose how much, hour, 2 hours, whatever you want. And it's good for 12 months. And you have a issue or concern comes up in the marketing area, you pick up the phone or you email us, and we give you the advice, the strategy, the whatever the situation is. It might take an hour, it might take 5 minutes, but it's only the time that's used that you get charged for or comes out of your time block that you bought. So I offer you a little thing. If you say, I heard about the advisory time blocks, you know, email us that I heard about the advisory time blocks on the radio show Smart Marketing for Small Business, and Les promised me a 20% discount if I mentioned it, if I acquire any time blocks. So think about that. I am more than happy to work with you. Now, keep in mind, we'll get back to another favorite quote, and that is, keep in mind that neither success nor failure is final. The time you need to do something is when no one else is willing to do it, when people are saying it can't be done. The quality of the results a true leader delivers is based on how well they motivate their team, themselves, the attitude they possess, and the one they create within the corporate environment and within the environment of their dealings with the customer. How well they communicate internally as well as externally is important. How challenging and as well as realistic are the goals they set? Their understanding of the customer's needs and wants, the innovativeness that encourages from the entity. All right, so there are a lot of different things that can be done. But one of the things that I like to point out, and this is, again, I use as, you know, quotes to make a point. Listen to this closely. This was by Calvin Coolidge. Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than an unsuccessful man with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. Think about that, because it is a key aspect of success in running any size business. In fact, there's what I call 10 rounds of success that you need to think about. So get your iPad out, get your notepad out, however you keep notes, what have you. I want to talk about things that you need to be thinking about. And these are questions, as you know, I find that asking questions forces people to think, and it's a skill and a talent that I encourage you all to get. But key to it is, do you understand what marketing is? I have a definition of marketing. Actually, I don't have the definition. Somebody else had it. Theodore Levitt from the Harvard Business School back in the 60s. But he said, marketing is all the exhilarating big things and all the troublesome little things that must be done in every nook and cranny of the entire corporate organization to achieve the purpose of attracting and holding a customer. You may like that. You may have your own. But you have to, in your mind, define what is marketing, how it's addressed to your business. And then you've got to decide, what business are you in? You may think that's a simple answer. It isn't. You know, the key to it is, remember we talked about benefits instead of features. Are you a carpenter? Well, that's a skill. But are you building something that changes someone's life? Are you a doctor doing something that educates and informs? You're a retailer. Are you doing something that enhances someone's job opportunities? There's many different ways to look at it. You got to analyze the marketplace, look at what challenges you're facing, what opportunities exist, and follow that rule, Wolf's rule of business opportunities. Look for the sameness factors that are out there so you can identify the untapped areas. Another thing you should be doing is evaluating your competition. What are their strengths versus yours? What are their weaknesses versus yours? And yes, you have some weaknesses. You know, can you learn something from your competition? I mean, what can they teach you? If you look at them and observe and, you know, evaluate, you would be surprised what will suddenly hit you between the eyes that could help your business. You know, customer service advantage. You know, customer service today is almost a laugh in most businesses. So how do you improve customer service without spending any money? And we may get a chance to cover that in a little more detail, but one of the areas is being courteous. Whether it is being polite to people, whether it's returning phone calls, whether it's greeting them with a smile, you know, whether it's sending them a handwritten thank you note. You know, customer service, you have an advantage because so many people are so poor at exercising and implementing customer service. You know, how would your customer service score be from the perspective of your customers? Would they give you on a scale of 1 to 10? 1, 3, 5, 10. You should hope that they look at it and say, hey, I'll give him a 15 because he's better, she's better than a 10. You also have to communicate from the right perspective. I mentioned this before. We talked about the Whiffen factor. Well, one of the keys is the only perspective is the perspective of your customer. And you've got to look at, you know, how do you differentiate yourself from your competition? You know, you need to look at, in a sense, I can use a boxing term, the right fight move combinations, whether it's advertising, public relations, promotion, social media, internet. You have to look at all of these things. You know, you don't want to be a mimic marketer. You want to develop a proprietary marketing platform. Give an example of something we're working on right now for our business is we own a lot of domain names that are marketing oriented, and we're developing them into proprietary marketing platforms to where that domain name will take on a life of its own, but it's the only one in the world that has that domain name. And the other thing is, because there's so many aspects out there, as I said, public relations, promotion, advertising, direct mail, direct response, internet marketing, social media, lead generation, trade show marketing, I could go on and on and on. You need to take an integrated marketing approach. It's much stronger than just doing one thing. You have to figure out how can I take what, you may not need all those areas, but how can you take them and weave them into a marketing tapestry, or in a sense create a marketing mosaic that paints a picture to your customer, to the community that is just positive. as we said before, customer relationships. But do you have any idea what your customer is worth? How much business does a customer on an average give you a year? Now, have you started to neglect a client or a customer? Have you thought about that, in particular in the business-to-business area? You know, are you staying in touch? When's the last time you called a customer that you haven't, or a client, that you haven't seen in a while, or even if you have, just to say, how are you? Is there anything I can do for you? That helps in what I call customer retention practices. And lastly, one of the other areas that you want to look into is building what I call an effective intelligence network, because it is key for you to know what's going on in the marketplace, what is going to make you stand out. All right. We talked about attitude, and as I said, it's attitude is, how can I best, you know, it's a secret to smart marketing. It really is, because you've got to be open to change. You know, change is the law of life, and those who look only to the past or present are certain to miss the future. That was said by a guy named John F. Kennedy. I think you all know who he is, or he was. These are things that you need to pay attention to. All right, you got to listen attentively to the recommendations of employees, vendors, and customers. You got to thank and recognize those that provide you with suggestions. You have to be open to criticism. You have to encourage people to tell you whatever on their mind, because with recognition for the fact that they do that, not retribution, because it is key for you. To be different than your competition is to pay more attention to the needs of the people you serve. And you serve customers, you serve employees, you serve vendors. And all of them are interested in helping you. So, you know, you need to look at all of these other things and see, hey, here's how I can differentiate myself. Here's how I can do something that is completely different. All right. Again, I want to remind you that we have the LinkedIn groups. We have the blog. We have our corporate site. We are interested in hearing from you with our email, marketingsmartly@AOL.com. We offer opportunities if your audience, if your customer base that you're trying to reach out are small businesses. We have a number of programs that developed into workshops, webinars, and speeches. I love to get out and have an interactive dialogue with an audience. So these are all things that you can do, and reach us at marketingsmartly, SMARTLY, marketingsmartly@AOL.com. So there's so much more I could cover, but I want you just to think about what we've talked about today. And as I said, one of the things that I look forward to is hearing from others on ideas, suggestions, topics that we can share with our audience. So please let us hear from you. Please get active on the LinkedIn group. We are here to help you get smarter, and you help us get smarter by your input, which we can then share with our audience, whether it's in the blogs, whether it's through the LinkedIn groups, whether it's through the radio show. We are open to your ideas on how we can make ourselves more effective, more important, more results-oriented for you. Because smart marketing for small business is our focus, and small business is key to the success of this country. Take care. Look forward to hearing from you. And hopefully you will spread the word and encourage people to listen in next week. Take care.